Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to the Off Menu podcast, taking the flour of conversation, adding the yeast of humour, letting it prove on the internet and baking a wonderful podcast experience. It's not the exact recipe for bread. Please don't take that, write all that down and try and bake bread. There's some other stages.
That's how you make waffles.
Is it?
Yeah. That's how you make waffles, man.
Cool. I didn't know you had to prove like waffle recipe or anything or...
Huh?
Didn't know you had to prove it if you're doing waffles.
Yeah. You've always got to prove it. Otherwise, people won't believe you.
Right, okay. You don't know anything. What is this podcast, James?
This is the Off Menu podcast. We've got a dream restaurant. I'm a genie. Ed is the proprietor. And maitre d'. And we welcome a guest into the dream restaurant every week and ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, side dish, drink and dessert in that order. And this week, our guest is... Asim Chowdhury,
wonderful actor, writer, comic. You probably know him from People Just Do Nothing. He plays Chabadi G. He's very funny.
He is so funny, and People Just Do Nothing is so funny. The People Just Do Nothing film, Big in Japan, is out next week. We're very excited to see it.
Very excited.
I love People Just Do Nothing, Ed. I think it's hilarious. I think Chabadi G is such a funny character. I'm very excited to have Asim on the podcast.
Yes, indeed. Can't wait to find out his dream menu. But if he says a special ingredient, which we have decided upon, he'll be kicked out of the dream restaurant, even though he's got a film coming out next week, James. And the secret ingredient this week is peanut dust.
Peanut dust, for those of you who watch People Just Do Nothing will know. Chabadi G, he's an entrepreneur, always coming up with different things, wheeling and dealing. And one of the in the very first episode... He comes up with peanut dust. He's trying to sell people just the dust from the peanut packets.
I think it's a good idea.
Comes up a few times throughout the series. Every now and again, little peanut dust reference. The fans have really latched onto it. So we're thinking maybe Asim's going to be tempted to play to the fans on this one. And if he is, he chooses peanut dust.
He's out.
We're going to punish him for it.
Even though, James, I genuinely think it's a good idea and I would buy it.
Yes, I know you would buy it. Would you use it? You sprinkle it on stuff? Or have
as
it on
a condiment.
Own?
I'd use it as a condiment. Yes. I'd occasionally just neck a bit of it. Oh, yep. I think it'd be great. Sometimes I use a powdered peanut butter, which sounds like a similar idea.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that spreadable? What's that?
You mix it with water.
Oh, okay.
To make peanut butter. Yeah. It's just like powdered peanut butter. It's like lower in fat and I can basically make loads of it and not feel sick afterwards.
Always surprising me, Ed. You know, everyone should out there... You all deserve to have a friend like Ed. You never fully know the man.
Yeah, it's some people that talk about. Or you always surprise me when you talk about like layers of personality, or you know, oh, that's something I didn't know about you, an interesting backstory. With me, it's like, sometimes I use powdered peanut butter.
Yes, I didn't know you added peanut powder to water and made yourself some peanut butter. Very exciting. Well, Ed.
Yes?
Should we start the episode?
Yes, we should start the episode. Enjoy the off-menu menu of Asim Chowdhury. Welcome, Asim, to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you.
Ooh. Welcome, Asim Chowdhury, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
I know. So what happened there? Was that an explosion?
Yes.
Yes.
It was. Oh.
James is a genie, and he exploded out of his lamp, I'd imagine.
Yes. Right, okay. Just be careful doing explosion noises around me. I don't want the government thinking. Because how I look, brown with a beard, walking into a restaurant and you going... I could get shot. All right. So,
that'd be a very abrupt end to the podcast.
So, you're worried that someone from the government is going to hear the explosion, run into the Dream Restaurant, and they're going to look around, and you're the first guy they're going to be like, it must have been us.
Yeah, and exactly. And sometimes before I say, I'm not a religious man, but sometimes before I eat, I do say a little bismillah, which means bless. And if I say that combined with a bomb blast, come on. It could get a bit weird, all right?
Yeah. So. Do you think that level of prejudice is so ingrained that if the government ran in and they saw you and a genie next to a smoking lamp, that they'd still assume you were the cause of the noise?
Yeah, they'll still blame me. Also, yeah. I like that James is wearing a blue T-shirt, literally looking like a genie.
Yeah, he is.
Today, aren't I? This is the most genie... I mean, this is genie blue, this T-shirt.
This is genie blue. I don't think anyone's described blue as genie blue. I like that.
Yeah. This is nice. Absolutely proper, authentic genie blue. I'm quite happy with this. It's a new T-shirt, Ed, and I thought I'd get a compliment from you today about it. You haven't said anything. Ask him, though.
Well, I've not said anything. It looks quite similar vibe to a lot of your other T-shirts. Is that fair?
Probably the fairest thing you've ever said to me.
So I didn't assume it was new, but it's very nice. You've got your style, and I think you're working it. Well done, you.
Thank you. Yeah. Asim, you bought any new T-shirts lately?
Well, actually, I haven't. I used to make T-shirts. No, I didn't. I had a weird phase. I'm quite an obsessive man, right? Mm-hmm. And when I get into something, I really geek out on it. And I was really, for some reason, I was really obsessed with that Come Dine With Me episode. You know, the guy who's like, yes. Dear Lord, what a sad little life. Yeah. And I was just like,
you have all the grace of a reversing dump truck, that guy.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not wearing boxers, but I'll show you in a minute. But sorry, no, but that sounded weird. But yeah, so I was really obsessed with it, like to a point where,
boxers.
Like I knew it was, I know I am wearing boxers. Sorry, I meant I'm only wearing boxers. And then I said, I'll show you in a minute. Fucking hell. Yeah. That sounded so creepy. But I'm sorry, guys. No, I am just only wearing boxers. I was about to stand up and show you something.
Okay. I thought you were going to be our first guest to be Winnie the Pooh-ing it during the record.
How's that? You're good. He got his dick out in the first 5 minutes.
We're talking about Come Dine With Me.
Yeah. So anyway, I was really obsessed with that whole moment. And I don't know why. Like, and I know it was already, I knew about it before, but I really, really got into it. And then I was like analyzing it. And I did like a YouTube breakdown video. And this was during lockdown as well. So I was like, I've started a vlog that I like quit after 3 eps. And I started a podcast that I quit. I started doing Twitch streaming that I fucking couldn't be bothered with. I'm like that. Like I get into something and I just give up. Anyway, so before this, I was on holiday before lockdown. And I was in the jacuzzi and I sprained my ankle. So basically for 2 days, I was just inside the hotel. And then I just obviously was watching stuff. And then I was on Photoshop and I just made a design of the Come Dine With Me guy, his face, and then the other people in the background. And it says, like, you know, enjoy the money, Jane, or something like that. Sorry, it says, I can't remember what it says. Enjoy the money, Jane. And it was just a really cool design. And I put it on Twitter, like, as a joke. I was like, bored as fuck, whatever. And it went viral and everyone was like, okay, where can we buy this? And I went, no, I'm not. I don't sell T-shirts. Like, I'm an actor. I don't. That's not my profession. I'm not in the fashion industry. But I had to make them. So I got them designed and, you know, it went mental. And then it then became this whole thing where, like, the actual Jane from the episode, she wanted one and she got into my DMs and she started, like, basically having a go at me being like, you got it all wrong. Because I analyzed it so deeply that I actually realized that Peter, the guy, the Dear Lord guy, he was actually the victim.
Really?
100%. Like,
so for people who don't know about this moment on Come Dine With Me, it's when at the end Jane has won, mm-hmm. and Peter, whose house the last episode was in, thought he'd got it in the bag, didn't, and he takes it very badly, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's reading the results, he gets out the paper, and he says, and in fourth place, it's me. And then he scrolls up and he sees that Jane's won. And then he goes, congratulations, Jane, you've won.
Yeah.
And then it just starts the most, it's just the way he delivers it as well, the kind of, dear Lord, what a sad little life. It was just, and then, you know, you have all the grace and decorum of a reversing dump truck without any tires on.
It's so good.
Poetry. Like, how the fuck do you come up with that? So anyway, I became obsessed with that. I made the t-shirts, they went viral. I even, okay, now I'm going to stand up. Hold on, let me pull my box.
Here we go.
Oh, you're not going to see it. You're not going to
see it. Here it comes.
And then during the vlog thing I did, I even got my girlfriend to do a painting of...
that is a brilliant painting. That's exactly like him.
That's so exactly... Really, and she made his eye and his eye red as well. Yeah. Like some Terminator kind of dude. So anyway, I had a really weird obsession with it. But then it came full circle, like I said, when Jane from the actual episode attacked me, came in my DMs, you don't know anything. He was a fucking nightmare. You don't know. You know. And then we became friends. And then I sent her a t-shirt. And then I've got a picture of the actual Jane wearing the t-shirt and then the voiceover guy wanted one. So then I became, it came full circle and now I'm over it.
Yeah.
Now I'm done with it.
You say that you get into stuff and then you give it up. It sounds like that ended appropriately, right? You followed that through as far as you possibly could.
I think so, yeah. I'm content with it now. Like, I'm done with it. Like, you know, like, I mean, obviously, if someone brings it up, I will have a chat about them. I'll talk about the, you know, the very complex politics of it all and the social dynamics, because I found it fascinating. You know, I did a whole breakdown video on YouTube, and not for, like, just for myself. Like, it wasn't for, I wasn't being like, this is going to be great content. Fuck the content. This was therapy for myself to get over this obsession. And now I think I'm over it. But I was considering making a musical or something about it. Like a, do you know what I mean? Like basing something on it. Because I do think it's so brilliant.
It doesn't sound like you're over it, to be honest, if you're considering funding a musical.
I'm like the cookie monster, but my cookies are like, come dine with me. That moment.
You said that you had to make loads of t-shirts. Did you make loads of t-shirts, or did you lock Steve's in a garage and make him make them and then let him out in the morning?
And paid him a tenner. No, I should have, to be fair. No, I just got the same people who do our Corrupt FM merch. I just
perfect.
Got them to do it.
Did a little brief reference to People Just Do Nothing there. The film's coming out big in Japan. It's very exciting. What can people expect from it?
I think, you know what, it's one of those, I'm really, really proud of it. And I've only become proud of it recently because I kind of forgot we made a film, because we made it at the end of 2019, like right before Corona hit. We were very lucky in Japan. Yeah. Then obviously, you know, the world went to shit, cinema shut. So the film's been ready for like a year. Mm. I've seen it a million times, given notes on every meticulous detail. So I'm sick of it, right? But I let it... You know what it's like when you work on something, you know, it stops even becoming a thing anymore. It's like, it just becomes weird. Then I haven't even seen it for like 4 or 5 months now. It's just been sitting there. But now like these pre-screenings have been going out and some film reviewers and whatever influencers have been seeing. And people have been telling me, oh, we really love it and all that. So I'm really excited. And tomorrow we've got like a cast and crew and friends and family screening tomorrow at Leicester Square, which is like going to be 300 people. And I'm actually quite... nervous and excited, but also because my mum and my dad, they're both divorced. They haven't seen each other for like God knows how long, like maybe 10, 12 years. And they're both coming. Like, and my dad's, you know, bringing his wife and his kids, and my mum's bringing her kid. And like, it's going to be weird, but it's kind of sweet in a way, because like I said to my mum, is it going to be weird? Like, you're going to see dad and like, you know, my stepmom and all that. And she was like, and also, like, I've got friends who are coming who some of them haven't spoke for years. Some have got friction. Some have got beef. And then everyone just said to me, look, fuck all that. We're here for you today. Uh-huh. Do you know what I mean? So it's quite sweet. But I am quite nervous because, like I said, my mum and I don't know what's going to fucking pop off. You know what I mean? It might be.
Maybe your parents will get back together.
That's what I'm thinking. Is this still 20 years later? Maybe you guys will give it another shot.
Yeah.
We'll go to Disney World again.
The lights come up at the end of the film and they're on the back row getting off with each other. What a shit.
Oh my God, that would be hilarious. I'd love that. You know, you're joking about that. I would love that though. The little kid in me is like, yeah, mom and dad, get back together. It was weird. And I remember when my parents used to argue back in the day, because they used to argue so much, which is why divorce is a great option sometimes, because they were clearly not right for each other. And as an adult, you fully understand that, you know. But I remember we used to have this thing, which is really sweet and quite pathetic. But when they used to fight, I remember I used to get a little twig and wrap a Tesco bag around it, like a white flag. And I used to run in the room and just wave the flag.
That is like the most heartbreaking thing I've ever heard in my life.
I know. But yeah, anyway, it's going to be fun. I'm really proud of the film. I think because it's in Japan, in Tokyo, it's got a cinematic feel. So it feels big. Like literally you could point a potato in Japan, you know, it's shit camera and it would still look epic. Yeah. Like, you know, the place is insane. So it's cinematic. It feels big. But at the essence of it, it's literally, it's the same humor. It's the same tone. The characters feel the same. You know, it's a fish out of water story. It's a story about friendship. And I've always said this, the thing I kind of envy about, like people like Chabuddy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, obviously he's my character. But I do envy him because, you see, me, I'm not content in my life. You know, I always want more. I want to be, you know, I want to be more successful. I want to do more things. I want to write more films, do more TV shows. Like, it'll never be enough for me, right? But Chabuddy, Grindr, Beat, Steve's, they're all content in their little shit world. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And I think there's something really sweet in that. And I think, like, Chabuddy doesn't want to have competition and compete with the other businessmen. He wants to be the only entrepreneur in the bloody place. You know what I mean? He wants to be number one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it a lot. It was one of the things that I'm behind on so many UK sitcoms. And during lockdown, I just binged all of People Just Do Nothing. And I'm very excited to watch the film.
Amazing.
I've been quoting it a lot around the flat.
James, if you get really obsessed with People Just Do Nothing, you can make your own T-shirts.
I can make a T-shirt. Genie Blue T-shirt. So we always start with still a sparkling water on the podcast.
Yeah.
Do you have a preference?
You know what? Okay, look, we're all grown ups here, right?
Yes.
I like a sparkling water. I do. I'm not going to lie. When I was a kid, no fucking chance. Yeah. You know, it's basically like, it's like a fizzy drink without the flavor. You know what I mean? It's pointless. So I'm partial to a little sparkling water, but only on holiday. Is that weird?
No, but let's dig into it. It doesn't feel weird, but I want to know the reason. So is it when you're abroad, there's just something different about your palate, or does it feel like a special occasion?
It's everything. I'm a different person when I'm abroad. I'll wear things that I would never wear. Like, look, I bought these shorts the other day.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't wear these in real life.
For the listener, Asim is holding up some shorts. He's not showing us his boxer shorts that he was wearing earlier. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just a different person on the day. I feel free. I feel like there's no one judging me. I feel, and also, like, the fact that, you know, like, I play a comedy character that's mental and he wears leopard skin and he's a ridiculous human being. So me, in real life, I'm quite toned down. I wear black. I'm a bit more, like, low-key. Mm-hmm. So on holiday, I feel like I would have a sparkling water. Yeah. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So I would, and I do feel like, you know, when they say still a sparkling, you go, sparkling. It just makes me feel good as well. It makes me feel kind of...
So do you want this dream meal to be on holiday?
No, I don't want it to be on holiday because a lot of aspects of my meal are very home-based and stories and family and friends attached to it. So I don't think it... I'm just saying a holiday version of me will have sparkling water. But can I just say one thing, though, that I hate? And this is not a diss to the brand or whoever make it. But, you know, still, like yesterday, I was on the show and they gave me that water in a can.
That's a new thing, isn't it? Yeah, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right coming in. Even if you know it's still water, you take a sip and there's no fizz. It just tastes weird. You feel like you've been let down.
It weirds you out. It's kind of like a dream. You know where you can't punch someone, where you're punching them and it's not hitting, or like, you know, you can't come. Have you had those ones before? And it just dust comes out. Have you had that? When you're about to climax and just... Like you don't have that one? No, me neither. Me neither. Nah, that's fucking weird, man. Fucking hell, freaks. Well, yeah. Anyway, so moving on. But you know what I mean? No climax.
A frustrating dream. Yeah.
And then you got about to come, and then dust comes out, and a genie comes out of your dick.
Yeah.
You come out.
I come out,
blue.
Explosion. Cops come in, shoot us both.
Yeah.
You've got a boner.
I've got a boner, yeah. And one of my three wishes are I wish for sparkling water. Because this water in a can is not doing it for me. Let's go with sparkling water.
Yeah.
Holiday or not holiday? Because I would still have it here. But on holiday, I don't know why, always sparkling water.
Do you want to, for the sparkling water, do you want to change into the shorts and then you can change back into your more normal clothes for the rest of the meal? Is that a chief?
Yes, please. Yes, great. Please. Thank you.
Great. Okay. Yeah. And you want anything in that sparkling water? You want ice cubes? You want lemon?
I'll have an ice and a lime, please. I like a bit of lime in my water.
Why does it edge it over the lemon?
Lemon, I don't want a lemonade. You know, I just feel like lemon is there's a big difference between lemon and lime. Uh-huh. You know, some people are like, oh, whatever. It's not. It's very different, I feel.
Absolutely.
And I love lime. I love the flavor of lime.
I'm with you.
So, yeah, water and lime.
You want a wedge, not a slice, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. Wedge.
Yeah.
Definitely
a wedge. What's the point of a slice? Because the wedge, you can get in there and you can pick the wedge up and you can squeeze it and then you can get it to the right strength. A wedge, you can't squeeze a slice, can you?
No one squeezes a slice.
It's messy.
Poppadoms or bread? Poppadoms or bread, Asim Chowdhury? Poppadoms or bread?
Bloody hell. God, I feel like poppadoms or bread is quite random as well. I would say poppadoms, and that's not me being a stereotype. That's me just saying I like poppadoms. And when I was younger, actually, I in my drama class, I was very naughty. I wasn't naughty. I was a good kid. I was a good kid. Mm-hmm. I was very hyper. Yeah. Like, I'm sure you guys were, like in terms of like funny guys, we always want attention and we always do. So I was a bit, challenging, but my drama teacher absolutely fucking hated me. Like, one of those teachers that like, if you breathe, you get a detention. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just like, she just didn't like the cut of my jib. Yeah. And I didn't like the cut of her jib.
Yeah.
And I remember one day in one lesson, my mate threw a rubber at her head, right? Uh-oh. Classic. And she turned around and she, I remember I told this story in America once and they thought I was talking about a condom. They're like, you threw a fucking condom? I was like, no, a rubber is an eraser, we call it. And she turned around, she saw it was me and she just was fuming. It wasn't me, but obviously I'm no snitch. I'm not going to be like, it was him. Obviously I took the rap for it. And she kicked me out of the drama class, right? This was GCSE as well. She kicked me out and she said, all right, Asim. She went, you need to earn your grade back. And I went, all right. She went, you need to come in on time. You need to blah, blah, blah. And I went, I didn't. I really tried hard for the next like 6 months. I came in on time. I wasn't being naughty. I helped my group with their final production. This is where the poppadom bit
comes
in.
I was going to say.
I wrote it. I directed it. I gave myself a tiny part because I thought, I might not get graded here. So it was called The Poppadom Father. And it was like the Asian version of The Godfather. And it was really... And it was really fucking good. Like, it was funny, sweet. It was about, you come to this day on my daughter's wedding. And he was eating poppadoms. And, it was fucking ridiculous. And there was, like, shooting going on and, like, lassi flying everywhere. I went to school in Hounslow, so it was, like, very Asian. Yeah, and then at the end of it, like, I was like, okay, I think I've really done a good job here. I hope I get a grade. I hope I get a GCSE, right? Even my whole group, they wrote a letter to the teacher saying, look, we think Asim's deserved it. He's done great. She still didn't grade me. So I basically left school with a U in GCSE. And then I quit any kind of drama acting for years because I thought, oh, I'm not good enough. Or it really disheartened me. And then for years, I didn't do anything. I went into like film and media and, script writing and all behind the camera because it really knocked my confidence. It's amazing, like how powerful teachers can be. Like a great teacher, you'll never forget, and a shit. And I still am not over that. Like, I still think she did me so wrong. Yeah.
I'm the same, man. I've got a teacher like that. Every time I think about her, I get absolutely furious. Still, you want to go up to her as an adult and say everything that you weren't mature enough to be able to like articulate when you were that age.
Exactly. And I think deep down, like, she's probably seen me and doing stuff and all that. Like, I was very tempted to go up to after the BAFTA and being like, dear Lord, what a sad little life. You ruined my drama GCSE so you can have the money. No, I'm joking. I am kind of over it. But I know what you mean, James. I still get a little bit kind of frustrated and sad because I do think it's important. And I think teachers, they should recognize, like, I was a good kid. I was a creative kid. Mm. Who clearly had a lot of good ideas. Okay, I might be a bit of a shit, but you need to get, like, they're kids. We're kids. Part you know what job. I mean? Like, on the complete flip side, my English teacher, absolute fucking legend. Mm-hmm. He used to listen to my old rap songs and he used to, like, talk about hip hop with me. He would know when I'd come in stinking of weed. He would be like, he would just always chat to me and he's still my friend today. Wow. Till this day, we're still mates. So that goes to show you. And he gave me all the confidence in the world to be a writer, to, English I loved and playing with the language and, very nurturing as a, as a teacher, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to nurture these kids and give them a chance, man. And I was still a little dickhead, but, so just the flip side, and it goes to show you how important teaching is. It can change, it can shape a kid's life,
I don't think we've ever had as open and in-depth and earnest and vulnerable answer to poppadoms or bread ever.
Yeah. And I love that answer. Really lovely answer. But I'll be honest, Asim, the whole time you were talking there, I wanted to ask more questions about the plot of the Poppadom Father.
Yeah, yeah, obviously want to know what happens in the Poppadom Father.
Well, I know that we, I remember when it started, I did the, but like in an Indian, I was like, do, 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 do. And when the doubler came, it was amazing, I'm telling you.
You come to the day of my doors.
I remember we used to say ox when we were younger. We used to say not ask. We used to go ox me for this. Like, when I was younger, I used to say, but some, I don't know why. It was, I think it was like a class thing. Like, you know, like if you were working class and foreign, you would say ox. And we also used to say crips instead of crisps.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I was a kid, I used to go, ox your mum for some crisps. Oh, salt and vinegar. And the W's and V's were all over them. Oh, I really want salt and vinegar. Ox your mum for some crisps. She won't give it to me, but she'll give it to you. Ox her for crisps. And we had all of that in the Poppadom Father. It was great. It was.
Was there a take on the horse's head in the bed thing? Yeah. Did you do your version of that?
No, we didn't. No, we didn't get to. I remember we were discussing that, and it was going to be a dog instead. But it was just, we didn't really have the props for it, and then we wanted someone to play the dead dog. And this one guy was like, "Oh, what? So I'm going to play the dead dog and have no lines?" He was like, he took it as a bit of a slap. So we just kind of left that bit.
What part were you? You said you gave yourself a small part. Do you remember?
I was a cleaner. I came in one scene and just sweeped up something and then left.
And it wasn't even you that threw the rubber. This is what's really upsetting me about this. All of this was for no reason. Because who threw the rubber, Asim?
It was my mate. It was my mate Nick. Right. Okay, now we can say names. Yeah. We can say names. It's not snitching because no. But you know what? It wasn't just the rubber incident. I was always used to come in late. I was always stoned. I was always like trying to chat up a girl, not listen. I was a dickhead, but I loved it though. I loved drama. Yeah. Like, it was one of the lessons where I wouldn't bunk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, I was notoriously known as a bunker in school. I even got an award. And always late. I got an award at the end of school, an ironic award called the Early Bird Award, because I was always late or bunking. Never got caught bunking, though. That's one thing I'm proud of.
Yeah, congrats.
Never, ever got caught. It was all just allegations.
Yes.
So I used to come in the morning, sign into the register, fuck off, because I went to this school in Houser called Heathlands, and our school was behind a massive heath.
Yeah.
So it was very easy to bunk. Good. And we used to build like little communities in the heath. Like, I remember we used to get sofas and little cages and like sleep there sometimes, like session all night. What? It was an amazing place. So I was very clever about my bunking. I would come in, sign in, vanish for the periods I don't want to do, the ones I haven't done my coursework for, then come back for the DOS lessons, like drama, like art, you know, the bullshit lessons, German, you know, the ones no one gave a shit about, you know. So no, I was a little shit, 100%, but I didn't deserve that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it sounds like even when you were bunking off, you put a lot of work into it, because you built a whole makeshift village in some underground, like post-apocalyptic... Mate. Ready Player One.
Like Total Recall.
It was like that. And we used to name the spots as well. Like, there was one place that we found an old Christmas tree. And we on Christmas Eve, actually, we all met up and we put this Christmas tree and we decorated it with Rizzler and drug bags. And that became Eve. And so then forever, that's still a spot in Hounslow. Like, if you're in the park and you go, I meet you at Eve, me and my boys will know where to meet up.
We'll move on to your main meal now. You're starting with your starter, your dream starter.
Okay, so I don't know if you guys know what pani puri is.
Oh,
you know what they are? Or they're also called gol gappe.
The little chickpea things, yeah.
One of the best starters you can have. And actually, but I have a different way of doing it, right? So like normally, so what they are, they're just like a little kind of puff pastry, I'd say, right? And then inside there, you fill it with like these kind of lentils, kind of like chana lentils and onions and all this amazing like tamarind sauce. Mm. It's amazing. And you have to crack it open, and then you also put a tamarind water in there. And that's what bani is. Bani means water. And then you kind of eat all of it. But I've got a new way of doing it. So you get a shot glass, right? And you put the bani in, right? You put the kind of tamarind water into the glass. Then you put your little pastry on top, right? You eat the pastry and then you do the shot.
In one movement.
In one little motion. And it kind of makes like all the kind of Muslim boys who aren't allowed to drink. Yeah. They like doing it because it feels like, oh yeah, I mean, I'd be thumbing doing shots. You know what I mean? It makes it feel a bit naughty, a bit haram, you know? So yeah, I'd go for that. And the taste is incredible.
I love that because whenever I've had those in the past, you put it all in the thing and then... You bite down on it and there's a bit of liquid loss when you crunch down on it. But with your system, you don't lose anything.
And also the build is quite long as well. Like, you know, you have to get the thing, you've got to crack it open, you've got to put one bit in, put another bit in, then fill the water in. It's a good, you know, a minute and a half before you eat the fucking thing. So I'm like, pre-prepare all of them, put them on top of the shot glasses and just go mental, mate.
Love it.
You know what I mean? Shots, shots, shots. Yeah, love it.
Do you think you could extend it and maybe... put some of the elements maybe on your hand to lick it off, do the shot, pop it in your mouth. Yeah.
Very nice. I like that. I will add that to the agenda.
How many are you having for a starter?
I think, obviously, I'm a bit of a big boy, but I reckon I could do 5. But I think 3 or 4 is acceptable. I think it's, you don't want to fill yourself up too much. Also, it's a beautiful taste, but it is quite a strong taste. You don't want that to dominate your palate. Mm. You know what I mean? You might need a little palate cleanser after, a little mouge bouge maybe. You know, something to get rid of, because it's quite a potent. It's lovely, but it's very strong. So yeah, I think 3 to 5 mm-hmm. is perfect.
What would you have as a palate cleanser?
Good question. I mean, what are normal palate cleansers like? Well, I'm not really sure, because is it normally something lemony, like a
sorbet? They use sorbet quite a lot, that sort of thing. But I've always found that quite weird, because I find sorbet quite a taste. Like, it doesn't clean my palate. Mm-hmm. It's just like having a dessert, isn't it? So it's a bit weird to have in the middle of a meal.
Maybe a little mouthwash then.
Yeah, you could have
a minty mouthwash.
A real palate cleanser.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just I don't know.
The 6th shot that you line up could be a shot of mouthwash.
Yeah, we'll do mouthwash. Yeah.
So it goes straight after the Golgothas on the top, and you got the mouthwash beneath it, and then bam!
The mouthwash. Yeah, exactly. Done. You spit it back out as well if you want it to shot glass.
Sure. Yeah. Have you ever tried boozy ones?
Boozy mouthwash?
Well, no. Of this starter, have you ever been like, oh, instead of the tamarind water, maybe I'll have a little bit of booze?
No, you know what? I don't know what spirit would go with it, but yeah, I feel like you could try that. You know, the thing is, do you have spicy alcohol, though? Like, you know, you can get like... You can get spice, because you can get like, their picantes? Oh, they're a bit spicy.
Yeah, I guess you can get like chili vodka or chili tequila or something like that, I'm sure. Yeah.
Oh, actually, I've had peri peri whiskey before, which is fucking lethal.
Really? From Nando's.
From Nando's, yeah. Nando's sent me some peri peri whiskey and it was fucking lethal.
I've not tried that yet. I didn't dare try that. I think I've got a bottle of it downstairs. So that's.
Yeah, it's pretty lethal, mate. It's hot. I feel like it'd be good if you had a sore throat, though. You know what I mean? I think it'll be good for you. But it's quite out there. But no, yeah, alcoholic Golgappa, I reckon that could be a thing.
Where is it on the Nando scale, this peri-peri whiskey? Is it like hot, very hot, extra hot?
I think it's extra hot. Yeah, because it hits you in the back of the throat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It goes straight to the back of the throat, so I think it's pretty lethal.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Your main course, what's that teeing up?
This isn't all Asian theme, by the way, but this, I had to do this because this is like one of the best things you'll ever eat in your life, right? So my grandmother is an incredible cook. Like, her whole life is just food. Like, she's lived on the same council estate in Ealing since like the 60s, you know, completely self-independent woman, like doesn't need anyone's help, like doesn't, like lives on like £5 a week. Right. But her cooking is unreal. Like, it's just generational passed down menus. And this meal, don't know if you've heard of it, it's called halim. Have you heard of halim?
No.
So halim is like originally like a Persian lentil dish that's kind of slow cooked for hours with shredded kind of lamb. And then you kind of finish it off with fresh ginger, onions, lime, and you have it with fresh naan bread. And this thing is a delicacy, right? So in London, there's only one restaurant in London that actually serves legit Halim.
Oh.
And it's called Aladdin's. And I don't know, it's somewhere in North London or something, but it's been around for years. And people travel to go get this. It's kind of like a winter kind of peasant food. Mm. But the taste, I just can't even describe the taste to you. It's just so buttery and filled with flavor. And oh my God, it's like one of the best things you ever eat. Anyway, my nan, that's one of her specialities, right? Halim. And it's when my dad, because you know my dad was the original Chobuddy G, right? Like that's what he's based on. And my dad used to have a restaurant back in the 90s in Hounslow called Al Medina. And my grandmother used to come in every Thursday and cook a massive pot of this Halim, right? And people from all over London used to come. I remember as a kid, I remember going to my dad's restaurant and there used to be a queue outside. It was a little takeaway. It wasn't even a restaurant. Yeah. It was a takeaway. And there used to be a queue outside my dad's restaurant for this Halim. And oh, it's just like, you know, obviously my mum and my dad are, you know, not together anymore. But my dad still talks about that Halim to this day. Yeah. And like I now and again, and my grandmother still loves my dad. Like, you know, she's like still thinks he's an angel. He's not. But, you know, I've sent him some of the Halim now throughout the years. And every time he eats it, I can just see it transports him back to the 90s, right. Back when he was the man, yeah. As well. Like, because he was kind of like a shit Tony Soprano. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, he was like the Audi Tony Soprano of his day. You know, he had like a lowered red Mercedes. It had a personalized number plate. You know, he was cool, man. He was a cool guy when he was, you know, in the 90s. He was a bit of a boss. So I think as soon as he eats it, it takes him back to that. And obviously it takes me back to so many memories. So I would say Halim. And like I said, it's kind of still a hidden gem.
Yeah.
In terms of like us as Brits, like, you know, we've really embraced South Asian culture. Like, we pretty much know all the Indian dishes, don't we? But this is a very, very specific dish that comes from a certain part, and it takes the prep for it is all day long. And that's when you know a meal is legit, when it literally takes 8 hours to cook.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it can feed hundreds. It's that kind of dish. Like, it's just, you know, almost like a porridge. And then, but with all the other extra bits you add on, and you need to have it with fresh naan bread, like straight out of the oven, kind of. It's amazing. It's, I couldn't recommend it anymore.
Oh, man.
I mean, I think we're both going to go to this Aladdin's.
Yeah, we're going as soon as we can to try and get this. It's pretty rare that I'm genuinely starving by the time someone's finished talking about a dish, and that sounds incredible.
But my grandmother's one as well, like that one in London is amazing too. But obviously I'm a bit biased, but my grandmother, I don't know how she's got it, but the recipe is just, oh my God, like, it's just perfect, man. Like, it's absolutely gorgeous.
I'll happily turn up at your grandmother's house.
Yeah, I was going to say,
if you're recommending that, healing.
Yeah, come down.
I just love this, like, slow cook stuff. Like, I love making slow cook stuff. I love, it's just my favorite, where you can actually taste the amount of time that's gone into it.
Yeah.
Like, is it, so it's cooking all day? Did you say like 8 hours?
Yeah, it's cooking all day. And like the lamb is just it's just shredded basically within. So it's just in the porridge, just like kind of strips of it everywhere. And then what I think makes it, obviously, is the taste is amazing, but it's the fresh ingredients you put on top. You know, it's the fried onions, the garlic, the ginger. Yeah, you can put fresh chopped chilies as well. And it's just like, oh man, it's so good, honestly. And it's one of those meals where traditionally it's kind of eaten in a big bowl when loads of people eat off the same plate, sit down on the floor kind of vibes. You know what I mean? Probably can't do that these days with Corona. But you know what I mean? Like, that's the vibe. It's a very kind of community together kind of food, peasant food, you know?
I mean, if I can't be trusted in situations like that, to be honest. If everyone sat around the same plate, within 5 minutes you'd look and my side would have noticeably more missing, like I'd be eating into other people's quadrants.
Yeah. Hey man, can I get fuck off? Yeah. Imagine a little pizza slice amount of stuff. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. But yeah, definitely. So Halim, I've got the recipe for my nan, and you know, obviously I don't know how to make it. My mum can make it, but not the same. No one can make it like she makes it. But I was thinking, like, man, this could be like, you know, it's a hidden gem. Like, maybe if you could make it a little bit more easily kind of consumable, it could be quite a big hit, like a new kind of delicacy.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you'd sell it, because it's basically like a porridge, so you might have to, you know, set in a little bread bowl or something and you eat it. And it's a very winter time dish as well. It's not really a summer.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hearty, you know, for the winter.
I didn't know that Chobuddy G was based on your dad. That's quite exciting to me. My head's very much in the mode of just thinking about people just do nothing all the time now anyway, because I've just watched it all in one go. So
right.
I've got a lot of questions now, because if it's based on your dad. Did your dad used to You know, there's the scene when you guys go to the, like, the car boot sale and your buddy G's trying to negotiate a table with the lady who works there, and he puts on that, like, Cockney accent. Did your dad do that?
And also, a little fact for you, my dad's in that episode.
Oh, wow.
He's got a cameo. Yeah, my dad's in that episode. Yeah, my dad is like, I got the, you know when your buddy goes, holly? Like, that's what my dad. My dad's posh white voice is that. He goes, holly. Hi. Hello, mate. He's like, he literally talks like that. He's hilarious. My dad's, like, super sweet, though. I think the difference is that, like, my dad is not, like, not a seedy kind of sleazy. He hasn't got that side of your buddy, but he's definitely got the, I mean, like I said, he's had, like, he's owned an Indian restaurant. He's owned a minicab office. He's owned an internet cafe. Mm. There's actually a picture. If you Google Chabuddy G original, I don't know what you could, something, but you will see a picture of my dad in the 90s in his internet cafe. And then you'll see a picture of me as Chabuddy. And it's exactly the same. And I look just like my dad as well. Like, we are complete. And so, yeah, he had all of it, all the internet cafe stuff. That was all real. You know, the way all his different businesses, the way he speaks, hello, or lady mate. Like, he said lady. That's what my dad calls women. He goes, hello, lady mate. He would literally say that too. But the best thing about my dad is that, like, he loves Chabuddy. And also, he doesn't see why Chabuddy's funny.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't see. Like, he's like, what do you mean? He's like, he's a bloody smart guy. And I'm like, dad. And he's just, bless him, he's always trying. Like, he's always got a new business side. Like, he's into crypto now, and I'm like, that's not going to end well. But yeah, he's a legend. And it's not just based on my dad, it's also based on, like, you know, my mates and my uncles around the house. There's so many great characters from where I grew up. Like, just those kind of geezers, like Del Boy, you know, like, just Del Boys, like, people who can just get supreme, their confidence is up here and the ability is all the way down there. Do you know what I mean? Like, and just that kind of delusion is, that little gap is just where so much comedy lives. And they're sweet, though. That's the thing. Yeah. That even though, like, Chabuddy's a dodgy bastard, like, he will con your nan.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, he will con your nan. He will rob your nan over the phone on some fraud shit. But you still love the guy because he's an eternal optimist and he just wants to make it. He's got that immigrant spirit, you know, and that whole thing about, you know, there's one line where Chabuddy goes, I came here in 95, but with nothing but £5 and my brother's passport at my bar. That's a real thing that my dad says. And every immigrant dad says that, I came here with nothing bloody but £5, mate. And look at me now. Like, they always, any immigrant dad always came with £5.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't know what it was. It was like a starter pack. Just £5. Let's see what you can do. Yeah, no, I love my dad because he's not perfect, but he's a real entrepreneurial kind of guy who's never had a job in his life, always did his own thing. Yeah. He's a risk taker. Like, he would just take a risk.
But it's really interesting you say that as well, that all the different things your dad's done, the restaurant and the internet cafe and now crypto and stuff. And at the beginning of this interview, you were saying, well, I did a vlog, I did streaming, and like... It's just a more modern version of that. It's like, have a go at this, move on to the next thing.
Yeah, I'm a trier, 100%. I give it a go. I'll give anything a go. And I think, actually, you know, I think comedy is all about taking risks as well. Like, I think that in its purest form, like, comedy is that thought in your head where you're like, should I say that? Oh, no, but what if it's shit and no one laughs? But a real, like, someone who really, you know, gives it a go will say it. And it might flop. You might die. But you know what? Fuck it. One time you might kill. And that one time you kill, you could be a legend forever. You know what I mean? So that's comedy, is taking a risk. And I think in life, you got to take it. You got to be in it to win it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Give it a go.
Yeah.
And like, my dad had an Italian restaurant as well, which was hilarious, in Watford. It was called Bellissimo. And he did it up really well, but then he refused to get Italian chefs. So I think there's a bit in Chabuddy, in Chabuddy talks about this, where I kind of spoofed it. But this is a true story. He had his two chefs. There was one Indian guy called Mandeep, and one Sikh guy called Gurdave. So they became Mario and Gino. And I swear to God, like, the risotto was basically biryani. there was no difference.
So your side dish.
Okay, so this is more of a condiment, right? But for me, it's a side dish because I have it with everything. And I would just say straight up chili sauce. It's a certain type of chili sauce as well. Very hard to get. A Scotch bonnet Bayesian sauce from Barbados. It's called Country Boy. And it's very... I was in Barbados and we were living in... it was for one of my mates... kind of honeymoon thing. I don't know. He didn't get married, but we still went on the honeymoon because we paid for it. So we had booked a villa. But anyway, this villa was kind of weird because it was like kind of like an old colonial villa. Yeah. And it had, like, you know, paintings of his, like, plantation fields and all that. And to make it even worse, we had, like, living staff. So it was like these people from Barbados living with us as staff, and they were very much like, you know, Get Out vibes. Like, hello, sir. Want some tuna today? Like that. And we were like, felt bad. We were like, no, that's fine. We can go to the kitchen. But they just didn't let us do anything. They washed our clothes, everything. And it all felt very like Get Out vibes. But that's what it was. It was a villa with living staff. And that's there was their house. It was fucking creepy. And you know, Barbados has got that kind of history as well. Yeah. It's kind of weird, right? Yeah. But anyway, like apart from all the weird Get Out kind of weird shit, they had this chili sauce and they used to make this fresh tuna.
This has better be some fucking good chili sauce, Asim.
I mean, this has to be the most amazing thing anyone has ever picked on the podcast for K-Star. This has to be absolutely incredible, Asim.
I'm sorry, okay? What can we do? Like, it was just... But anyway, go back to this chili sauce. This chili sauce, yes. Fresh tuna sandwiches, right? Like, for, you know, the freshest tuna you could get.
Yeah.
And this Bayesian scotch bonnet sauce, oh my God. Like I said, it was called Country Boy. I've looked for it in this country. You can't find it anywhere. Until 2 weeks ago, someone sent me, because I've talked about it before, right? You know, on I can't remember on what, interviews or whatever.
Yeah, did you give the context every time?
No.
No?
You get the context. You get the very dark context.
We get the very dark history behind you discovering this hot sauce.
Yeah, you get the very dark shit. And someone sent me a link on eBay and I bought it. It was this little bottle, £16, completely overpriced. Got it and I've nearly finished it. It's fucking amazing. And it goes with everything. I went to my cousin's on Saturday, last Saturday, and I bought it with me.
Yeah.
And we had it with lasagna. I had it with everything. Have it with everything, mate.
Yeah.
Absolutely could not recommend it anymore. Country Boy, Bayesian sauce. Forget all the dark stuff, right? Forget the dark history.
Yes. Hard to, I mean, you painted a very vivid picture.
Very
vivid quite, picture. It's quite hard to forget it all.
But it was creepy. Oh, but it was creepy.
How hot is this chili sauce, Asim? How hot are we talking?
Okay, so, right. So, I can handle a lot of hot stuff, right? But I don't really like food that's, like, I don't want to be in pain. I don't think that's, you know, I mean, I'm not a sadist. Mm. I think that's fucked up when people want to eat the most hottest shit. Like, it just ruins everything. I would say this on a scale out of 10, this is a nice 8.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like the reason why it's a nice 8 is because the flavor is so good.
Yeah.
And like I said, try it with fish. Try it with a tuna sandwich. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. So I would have that as, I know it's ridiculous, but that is my side dish because I have it with it's on the side of every one of my dishes.
How would your grandmother feel about you putting that in her halim?
No, you don't do that. Yeah. You don't do that. That's incest, if anything. You don't do that. It'll be like incest. It'll just be wrong. You don't do that. You know, biologically, it's wrong.
Yeah.
And also, like, I don't, when I say everything, I don't mean like, I mean like I do it to enhance food.
Yeah.
Like, Indian food doesn't, or Pakistani food doesn't need to be enhanced. You know, I mean, the flavors are very full. And I'd have it on like a, you know, with chips or a burger or a lasagna or, you know, something like that. I'd just throw it on the side.
You don't have chips or a burger or a lasagna with this meal. So what are you using it for this meal? You've got I guess you could dip a naan in it. You could.
Do you want chips as your side? You can have chips as your side with this sauce.
Oh my God.
We'd let that happen.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll do that. I'll do that. But you know, you said that chips in the halim could actually be a great revelation there. Think about that. We were talking about making it more kind of marketable.
Sure.
Chips and halim chips.
Put them in. Get the dream, hot sauce involved.
The dream halim.
Yeah.
Halim the dream. Yeah. Bit of hot sauce. Oh, I like that.
You just see the businessman start to come out now.
Yeah, here we go.
Riffing the name of it. Yeah, halim the dream.
Here's what we glossed over with your holiday story early on. You said...
Yeah. Thank you, James, because I wanted to put a pin in this as well, and I'm glad we've come back to it.
your friend, it was his honeymoon. So, A, normally people don't take their mates on the honeymoon.
Yeah.
But apparently he didn't get married. So something went wrong there.
Yeah.
And then you all went on his honeymoon together. Is that what's the story here?
Yeah. Pretty much. I don't want to go into it too much because it's personal. Like it's, you know, it's not my story to tell, but yeah, basically there was a wedding planned in Barbados. Didn't happen.
Yeah.
We all had bought our tickets and this villa was very expensive. Yeah. It was like 10 of us. And obviously we're not going to not go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we went with him, but she didn't go, so it was quite fucked up. I'm not gonna lie, the whole situation was not like normal. It wasn't normal.
I love the idea of, it's already weird anyway because of the place where you're staying. Your friend's probably having a bit of a difficult time and you're just sat in the corner going, you try this fucking sauce.
Yeah.
It will make everything better. and it was weird because like obviously both sides, the you know, the bride and the groom, both sides of their families still came out to Barbados. So we would run into people like from the other side, you know, aunties and uncles and all that. And it'll be so awkward. It'll be like, you're right. Hiya. Yeah. Oh, what a shame. Yeah. Yeah. It's great though, isn't it? Yeah. They tried the chili sauce.
It's cool.
It was just country an awkward boy. Yeah, country boy as well. A bit of a weird name for it as well, right?
I love Bayesian hot sauce as well. The one I've had a lot is Aunt May's. Did you have Aunt May's?
Yeah, Aunt May's. So for me, Aunt May's is, you know, is great. Yeah, it's great, but it's too on the nose.
Uh-huh. Right.
It's too obvious. It's too easily available.
Maybe it
might even be better than Country Boy, but for me, Country Boy has just got nostalgia, pain, history attached to it, dark history attached to it. Yeah. So many things attached to it. You know, wedding.
Yeah.
Weddings that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Honeymoons. I mean, it's so much stuff. Tuna.
Yeah.
So many memories for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, Aunt May's is good. It's just a bit too easily accessible. I know that sounds weird, but it's just too readily available.
You're a hot sauce hipster.
Oh, yeah. A little bit. Yeah. I want the shit that no one else can have.
Your dream drink then?
We're going to go to Japan for this one.
Nice.
And we are going to go for Ramune. You know about Ramune?
No.
So Ramune is it's basically 7-Up. Mm-hmm. But the thing that makes Ramune so cool is that it's the design of the bottle.
Mm.
So what it does is that it's got this kind of, it's a normal glass bottle, but at the top of it, there's a little ball or a little cylinder ball that kind of adds acidity to it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And also stops it from flying out when you're drinking it. But the way you open it is you open the top bit and then you push down on the top bit and the ball goes into the water and it all fizzles. Yeah. It's like one of the most satisfying things ever. And it's a really nice lemon drink as well.
Yeah.
And it was just everywhere in Japan. And you can get them here as well. And it's just the fucking coolest, nicest drink on a hot day. Ramune, absolutely amazing. Mainly for the ritual. Yeah, have you heard about it though?
I've seen the bottle.
You've done the ball thing.
Yeah, I've seen the bottle before when I went to Japan a couple of years ago, and you sort of see it everywhere. And obviously, I got obsessed with multiple drinks in Japan. Going to the vending machines like 5 times a day.
Oh, amazing!
They're just so phenomenal. They're just being able to get amazing drinks just walking down the street whenever you want. We've all had the discussion of why don't they have those in the UK, and then all come to the conclusion because people would smash the shit out of them.
They'll smash. Yeah, they'll get smashed. Yeah, that's the thing in Japan. You just don't have to worry about it. You can leave your phone on the street.
Yeah,
it'll be there the next day. Like it's just a different society. But yeah, Ramune would be my thing.
Yeah,
I love it, and it is a really nice lemon 7-Up kind of vibe. It's really cool.
Do you think there are other drinks that maybe you prefer the taste of that just don't have a little ball in the top? And maybe your dream drink would be having that drink in a bottle with the. But we could like put the ball in for you.
Put the ball in. Pop a ball in.
Yeah.
Would you pop a ball in?
Pop a ball into your drink.
Pop a ball in. I'm not going to lie, one of my favorite drinks ever is just the Coke Zero. I don't like Diet Coke.
Yeah.
I think full fat Coke is too much. Yeah. Like it's too much sugar. Absolutely. I'll be too hype. Yes. A Coke Zero is, I don't know what, I just think it's years, light years ahead of any other diet kind of drink.
Really?
Like Diet Pepsi is fucking disgusting.
Oh, I've got a fridge full of Diet Pepsi, my man. I love Diet Pepsi.
No, you don't.
I love it. I've got a fridge full of it. I love Diet Pepsi.
Fuck off. Are you serious?
The last drink that touched my lips today was a Diet Pepsi.
Not Pepsi Max, because Pepsi Max is nice.
I like Pepsi shocked. Max.
I got Diet Pepsi in the fridge, my man. I can go and get you a can right now and prove it.
No, you are the first person who has, I know, who has willingly bought Diet Pepsi, because Diet Pepsi is normally the choice in a takeaway when they don't do. Are you serious?
I love
hate it.
Every time I've had a Diet Pepsi, I'm with you here, Asim. Every time I've had a Diet Pepsi, it tastes like it's been sat there for so long that the can has started to melt into the drink. Like it tastes of
flavor.
Can. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. Wait. James, do you like normal Pepsi or Pepsi Max as well?
I like Pepsi Max. I like cherry Pepsi Max. Yeah, it's delicious. Yeah. Real treat drink. Yeah. That's like a dessert in a can.
Yeah.
But Coke, Diet Coke, Coke's...
For a long time, I liked Diet Coke because I gave up drinking caffeine years ago. Like 5 years, I had no caffeine. And then I started drinking Diet Coke again. And it tasted like normal Coke because that had been so long. I hadn't had normal Coke in so long.
That's exactly
it. Suddenly Diet Coke tasted like normal Coke. Loved Diet Coke for ages. Just drank Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Thought Coke Zero was the same as Diet Coke. We'll put a pin in that and we'll come back to it. You can tell me why I'm wrong.
Ooh.
Start getting bored with Diet Coke. Had a Diet Pepsi one day and thought, there's flavours in this that aren't in a Diet Coke.
No!
This is way more exciting. That it tasted almost botanical. I loved it.
Can you please hold some kind of poll? Because I, James, I respect you.
Yes.
But I'm shocked by this because I've never heard someone willingly drink Diet Pepsi in my life.
Weirdly, Asim, I've never heard that he now drinks Diet Pepsi. Even though
is this a new thing?
I have heard the start of that story around 800 times. So there's now an end to that story.
Never gets old. I'm going to go and get a Diet Pepsi now. You carry on talking. I'm going to go and get a Diet Pepsi.
Oh, he's trolling you now, Asim. God. I can't believe he's actually getting a Diet Pepsi.
Got some kind of wholesale. He went to Costco and it was that they had no Diet Coke left. And he thought, let me just get this massive crate of Diet. So now he's got 400 cans of Diet Pepsi in his garage.
Maybe he's in the pocket of Big Pepsi. Maybe this is Pepsi have sponsored him and he's not told me.
We're just trying to pondering. Oh my God.
I got it right here.
You can as well. Is it cold?
It is cold.
Can we hear you open it, please?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, not enough fizz. Not enough fizz, though.
Yeah,
The exact right amount of fizz. Diet Coke is too fizzy. It attack. I can feel it dissolving my gums. This is super. Yeah.
Diet Coke is pretty fizzy actually, but Coke Zero is the sweet spot. Honestly,
Is it less fizzy a Coke Zero?
Yeah, I think so. But why do you have this? We were saying, did you get some kind of wholesale deal and you're stuck with him, or are you in the pocket of the old Pepsi master?
Am I making money off Big Pepsi? No. Actually, it's the same thing that you said earlier. You know, you get a takeaway and they send you Diet Pepsi instead of Diet Coke. I had that one day. And I was like, oh, okay, fair enough. And I was like, actually, I prefer this because I actually like it when fizzy drinks go a bit flat.
Oh,
and
mate.
I just started to find Diet Coke kind of a bit flavourless. It's aggressively fizzy and not much like flavour to it.
I agree with you there.
I think Diet Coke
tricked us all for years, yeah. I think.
Come on. This is Diet Coke's the OG. Diet Coke's the best. It tastes amazing. It's refreshing on a hot day. It's incredible. You can have two or three cans of Diet Coke, whereas all of these other things are like a meal in a glass.
I'm drinking my second Diet Pepsi of the day right here.
Yeah, only for a joke.
Yes.
It's only the punchline to a joke that we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Look, I just want you to run some kind of poll. I want us to find out. Put Diet Coke, Coke Zero and Diet Pepsi, and let's just see who the winner is. Can we do that on one of your socials
100%.
Or something? When this comes out, let's just... I want to end this.
Yeah, we'll do it.
I want to end this because I've been speaking about it a lot for a long time to a lot of people. Coke Zero, I'm telling you now, Coke Zero will smash the shit out of that.
I think it's going to be Diet Coke. But I know we're all just thinking that the ones we like are the best. But
It'll be interesting, though.
It'll be interesting. I think Diet Coke will win, annoyingly. It's like...
Yeah, it might win. Yeah. But you're right, though, James. I realise that. It's too fizzy and it does lack a lot of taste.
Yeah.
I think it pulled the wool over eyes for a long time.
Yeah.
But what I was saying, a Coke Zero, pop a ball in.
Pop a ball
could
in.
Could be my favourite drink ever.
Pop a ball in the Coke Zero.
I was going to say, do you want to pop a ball in the country, boy? James just spat his Diet Pepsi out.
He choked. I was going to say, do you want to pop a ball in the country, boy?
I think the ball thing is just I think it's just so the drink doesn't come out.
Yeah.
I think that's the only reason it's there. I don't know if it adds any flavour or acidity. I mean, I feel like I've heard that. I don't think it's true. I think it's literally like if you get a bottle of Ramone and you do that, it won't come out. Yeah. It will come out slowly if you drink it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that's the only reason it's there for. But I don't know. I'm not fully sure. But no, I won't pop a ball in the country, boy. I don't think that's necessary. Grow up.
Can the ball also turn the bottle into like a deodorant kind of thing? You can roll the drink directly onto your pits.
That's quite nice.
Your body
that would be good with hot sauce if you don't want too much. You can just roll it across the top of a bit of fish. Just do like a stripe.
Look like a little Tipex
mouse.
That's
a great idea, actually. That is a little roll on chili sauce.
Yeah.
That is really bad, nice. Great idea.
Get your dad on the phone.
Yeah. Hello. Oh, Dad, listen, I've got an idea.
We arrive at your dessert. Very excited to hear what this is.
Okay, I feel like it's just such an Asian... I'm very sorry for being so Asian. Basically, I'm going to go for a dessert...
Thanks for apologising, Asim, because we're really... not enough people apologise on this podcast for being too Asian.
We should. I'm going to go for a dessert that my dad used to actually serve in one of his restaurants. And it was... in my opinion... And obviously, I'm biased there. What's the best mango you ever had, boys?
Oh,
best mango.
This is a bit. Look, I am shamefully. I don't think I've had any good mangoes, really. because no.
Oh my god.
But even though I now live around the corner from a mango man who mango season, it's like a pop-up shop that only, it's like an empty shell of a shop until mango season rolls around, and then it's just full of mangoes. And I need to go and buy some mangoes.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Mango see the mango man.
Mango see the mango man. I mean, I also would say, I probably, even though I love mangoes, I've probably never had a brilliant one. We had Harry Kondabolu on the podcast, and was he saying Alfonso mango was the best? I can't remember.
Of course he would.
Oh, are we gonna have a mango war?
This is quite a heated debate, actually. I remember I put this up in my story a few months ago, and I was in Southall with my dad and my little brothers, and we went to go get the best mangoes in the world, which are Pakistani mangoes. Uh-huh. Okay, any type of Pakistani mangoes. Well, it doesn't matter. You can get literally anyone. Yeah. So with India, you can only get Alfonso, which is the good one. They don't really have the Kesan, or they're not as good. Pakistani mangoes, anyone.
Yeah.
The best mangoes in the world. And a real, true, honest Indian man would admit that. As a lot of my Indian friends admit that as well. They go, you got us on this one. You got the mango thing. Yeah. You know, we might not have all the economy and all that, and education. We don't have that. But they've definitely got us on that. And the GCSE results and A-levels and all that. And, you know, most good things they've got us on. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. But when it comes to mangoes, let us have this one, please, because we deserve it. Pakistani mangoes are the best. And that's not my dessert. Yeah. What it will be a Pakistani mango. Yeah. And my dad used to cut them in half and then fill them with sorbet inside. Ooh. And the sorbet would be made from the mango, you know, the Pakistani mangoes. Oh. Best dessert ever. Best mangoes ever. And if you haven't tried them, please, mate, you live next to a mango man.
Yeah, I've got to go to the mango man.
Tell the mango man you want the Pakistani mangoes. And if he says he's only got Indian ones, walk away.
No, because I know that there's definitely also a little bit further away, but there is a man selling Pakistani mangoes as well, because I walked past that the other day. It used to be a minicab office, and now it's pivoted to selling mangoes. So I'm going to...
That's what happens, because they're so seasonal. And I think the season's gone now, but it was like, you know, a month ago or whatever. But oh my God, like the best mangoes ever. And we grew up eating them as children.
What makes them the best?
Just try them. They're sweet. They are filled with flavor. They are soft. They are just, oh man, I can't explain it. Like, honestly, and you need to have them refrigerated as well before you eat them. Get them a bit cold. It's the best thing ever. And the most thing that really annoys me is that when those, you know, a lot of people's experience with mango is the fucking little carb ones you get in Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
They're not even mangoes with lime. Fuck off. That's not how you eat mangoes.
Yeah. Asim, there's a pot of Pret mango in my fridge with a wedge of lime in it. I'm so sorry.
You're a disgusting
man. Disgusting.
Fucking hell. And you live next to a mango man. You got that.
Yourself.
He will nut you if he saw that.
Yep.
He will nut you straight. No questions asked. Yeah. Just please, boys, Pakistani mangoes, all the listeners, go source some. You know, they're everywhere. When in season, you can get them everywhere. They are the best. And we need to end this debate as well.
Yeah.
The Indian versus... Also, I will say, honorable mention to the Filipino mango.
Uh-huh.
Also delicious.
Right.
Is Filipino better than the Indian mangoes?
Yeah. Definitely. I'd say so.
Yeah.
But better than an Alfonso mango.
Alfonso mangoes are good, but try the Filipino ones too. I reckon they're tied.
Yeah.
I'd say they're tied. But none of them are touching Pakistani mangoes.
Yeah.
Nowhere near.
Who's making this sorbet? Mario and Gino?
Mario and Gino are definitely making a bellissima, mate. Yeah, they're definitely making it. I remember once when I went to there, they made me a pizza. And I was like 15 or 16 at the time. And, you know, the pizza was all right, but the way they decorated the veg on top, they did a smiley face. I went, what are you not doing? Yeah. And they went, no, it's a smiley face. And then I was like, yeah, I know what it is. I went and I was like, is that how you're serving the customers? They're like, yeah, customer. And I was like, you don't do that. That's not, we're not children. Like, it was ridiculous. It was, you know, it was an absolute mess.
Oh, amazing. That's going to round off the meal perfectly, I think, really. You've got the palate cleanser there. You've got the palate cleanser ready to go.
Yeah, sorbet. We talked about it earlier.
Yeah, you've got the sorbet and you've got obviously the mouthwash earlier in the meal as well. So palate's going to be squeaky clean.
Well, I'm going to read your order back to you now, Asim. See how you feel about it.
Okay.
Water. You want sparkling water with ice and a wedge of lime.
Mm-hmm.
Poppadoms or bread. You would like poppadoms. Starter. Mm-hmm. Pani puri shots with a shot of mouthwash. after it. Main, your grandmother's Halim. Side dish, country boy Scott Bonnet sauce. Drink, Ramune, did you say?
Yeah, Ramune. Japanese, I think it might be Ramune.
James, don't forget the chips.
You would like some chips with the side as well, with the country boy, because otherwise you're putting those on the Helene, which you came round to eventually, but only if there's chips in the Helene as well.
I want to try that, yeah.
And dessert, Pakistani mango, filled with mango sorbet.
That's good. It's not bad. It's not bad.
That does sound really nice. And also, I mean, that's, we've had a few menus like this where I haven't tried. There are three things on there: the mango and mango sorbet, the country boy, and the Haleem that I've never tried. And I really want to try all three of those.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, me too. But there's three things, but one of them's chips, weirdly. I've never had chips. So I've
never had chips. He's never had a wedge of lime.
Well, you know what? At the end of one of these things, you know, if we've all learned something, I think that's what's good. Yeah. Like, you try something new, you know, like I, all these things, you know, were just with me from the start of my child, you know, from since childhood. So for me, they brought me a lot of pleasure over the years. And if I can share that, why not, man? Spread the love. That's what food's about.
Food is love, isn't it? I'm definitely going to Aladdin's.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not going to go to the place where you got the sauce originally. never go in there.
Well, I think you need a time machine for that, mate. Yeah.
I'll be getting some of the sauce once I've done a rigorous background check into how it's produced.
Yes. Yeah. Let's make sure we check that.
Yeah. Asim, if this was your come dine with me menu, if you did Celebrity Come Dine With Me, and it didn't win, what would you say when you found out the results?
Dear Lord. What a sad little life. Congratulations, James, Ed. You've won. Enjoy the podcast. I hope it makes you very happy. Now take your menu and get off my property.
Thank you so much for coming to the Dream Restaurant, Asim.
Thank you, Asim.
Thank you, guys.
Well, there we have it. A wonderful menu from Asim there, James.
Mouthwatering, I'd say.
Yes, we're going to go to Aladdin's to try Haleem. We've just looked at where it is. It's in Hendon.
The genie is going to Aladdin's, baby.
Ooh, what an exciting crossover.
Yeah,
It's actually the least exciting crossover there could possibly be. It's not a crossover at all, really.
Yeah, they won't be impressed. When I get there and I say, I'm a genie, they'll be like, yeah, what? Who cares?
Yeah, we can tell from your T-shirt.
Yeah, we know plenty of genies. We're Aladdin's, mate. Thought this would be exciting for
And I'll
you.
Be like, I'm just a man. They'll be like, please come in.
Yeah, wow.
It's so lovely to finally meet a normal man after all these genies coming in all the time and talking parrots and the like.
Iago, the parrot.
Yes.
Abu the monkey.
Yes. How many? Jasmine?
Jasmine. Raja is the tiger.
The Sultan.
The Sultan. Jafar's the baddie.
The lady who goes, think he's rather tasty. That lady.
Susie Essman.
Yeah. Susie Essman. Anyway, those are all the characters from Aladdin we could name. Wonderful menu from Asim. Really liked it. And he didn't say peanut dust. He didn't try and pitch it to the fans.
Congratulations, Asim. You get to have the entire menu. You get to eat all of that, which I'm envious of. And I'm going to make it my life mission.
Yes.
To have as much stuff on that menu as I can.
Yes, please. And also, it means that we will now officially plug your film, People Just Do Nothing, Big in Japan, which is out on the 18th of August, 18th. James. If you're listening to this on the day the podcast comes out, it is now the 11th of August. That means next Wednesday, the People Just Do Nothing film is coming out. Go to the cinemas to see it.
Yes, very excited to see that. I've had a lovely time, Ed. I don't know about you.
Me too. I've had a great time, mate. What a lovely old podcast it was and what a lovely old podcast it is. I'm on tour in 2022 doing a show called Electric, edgamble.co.uk for tickets. Go and buy some tickets.
And keep an eye out on Twitter for the Twitter poll that The Great Benito will be launching alongside this episode. Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi, Coke Zero, Pepsi Max. You've got to choose your team.
Diet Coke for me.
Diet Pepsi for me. Coke Zero for Asim.
Benito, are you Pepsi Max? Just nod.
No, he's not.
What, Diet Coke?
He's Diet
Team
Coke
DC,
boy,
of course
well,
he is.
Well, that's pretty rich. That's rich from someone who constantly edits out my brilliant Diet Coke story every single episode. I tell that Diet Coke story with aplomb, and he's a Diet Coke boy, and he's editing it out. Are you kidding me?
Well, the Diet Coke story today, there's a new end to it. I don't think we've had the Diet Pepsi end before. So
I think I've mentioned that I like Diet Pepsi, I think it's going to stay in the
Maybe
edit. That's been edited out as well in the past, but I've definitely mentioned that I like Diet Pepsi more than Diet Coke.
Not within the context of the Diet Coke story.
That's the thing, isn't it? It's weird. I've associated myself with Diet Coke now, even though I'm a Diet Pepsi boy.
Anyway.
Crazy life.
Probably the end of the podcast now.
Crazy life that I lead.
We'll see you next week.
Goodbye, everyone. Keep it fizzy. Always stay busy.
Hello, I'm Lou Sanders, and if you've enjoyed this podcast, you might like my podcast, Cuddle Club. It's about cuddling, yes, but really it's just a way into relationships and asking cheeky questions like, who was your mum's favourite, and when were you last unfaithful? Previous guests include Alan Davies, Ashley B, Catherine Ryan, Rich Dosman, Ed Gamble, Nish Kumar, and other legends. Get it on Acast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your all podcasts. And remember to CC everybody in. CC stands for Cuddle Club.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.